Except us.
Except us.
Yes, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we're joined by today...
This is Bob Mackey.
Hey,
Bob.
Guys. How you doing?
Good. Insurance solutions. Probably one of the least thought about aspects of aircraft ownership and especially home building.
You know, you're absolutely right. You know, people spend a lot of time researching exactly what they're going to build and what airplane suits them right, and there's their building skills and all that other stuff, or restoring or just buying something that's already built. Spend a lot of time doing that, but they don't spend a lot of time thinking about the insurance. Nobody likes insurance, so, and they even dislike insurance people more. But you know, it's not the fun part of any kind of ownership, especially airplanes. So, but it is fun. You know, it's fun helping people out. You know, they make us take an ethics class every other year because people know insurance people aren't very ethical.
And right up there with car salesmen. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But the teachers always, they talk about the, they cite these things. You can Google them on the internet. What are the most respected professions and least respected? And of course, the policemen and doctors and people like that, they're always up at the top. We know who the very bottom one is? Car salesman.
Yeah.
You know what the next one up is?
Insurance.
And my daughter's like, why do you do this? I said, well, because I can only go up because I'm never going to be a car salesman.
Right. Nice.
But no, insurance is really important, and we do all aspects of it, you know, all types of airplanes, and with the eclectic bunch that EAA is, from trikes and powered parachutes to vintage to seaplanes to warbirds, home-built, standard, everything.
Insurance and insurance rates and insurability are in part very determined by a history of a specific design. When you've got a guy who's designed a one-off and maybe he's not an aeronautical engineer and he says, I want insurance, what do you do?
In a case like that, what you try to do is you try to draw parallels. You know, is the design, if it's a completely radical design, it's so far afield from anything that's out there, that's going to be a challenge. I never say never until I know it's never. And with the market right now, we have just an excess of insurance companies out there. So as a broker, we go to all those companies. It's a very soft market, a lot of capacity. So it's easy to get, well, I shouldn't say it's easy. It's not as impossible as it used to be. Every once in a while, yeah, if things just don't line up right, you've got a pilot that's not right for the airplane, the airplane's too radical, it's not at the right airport. Yeah, you could find yourself in a no-quote situation, but that's pretty rare. But what you try to do is draw a parallel to something else that's out there. That, you know, if it's a tube and fabric, well, we know a lot about tube and fabric, composite or metal. Draw the parallels and then find another design similar. What kind of engine are they using? Are they taking a Geo Metro engine and doing a one-off conversion? That's a challenge. Or maybe they're using a regular aircraft engine, so that, you know, brings it back a little bit closer. And our job is to go to the underwriter and get them to understand the insurability of it and work with them to come up with, you know, not just the pricing, but the terms, you know, because if it's a new and he's got to fly first flight and area restriction, we want to get coverage for that because the person's invested a lot of time. So we use, you know, we use our leverage with the underwriters to get that stuff done.
Okay. A specific example I was thinking of is gyrocopters, gyroplanes. Mm-hmm. Typically, in the years past, there were a lot of ones that had bad histories. There were issues with people not being trained properly. So they have a bad impression. Now, the next generation, the stuff that's coming out of Europe now is amazing. And it's being certified over there as a certified aircraft. What about here? Are the insurance companies starting to look at that and saying, wait a minute, we can do these things?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what we end up doing is, again, using places like Oshkosh, we have lots of insurance people here this week, underwriters from all the different insurance companies. At least half of the companies have people here. And we get them out to the ultralight area where the gyros are at and let them see the aircraft. And in some cases, we actually get them on board and get them a flight so that they can start to understand the sophistication of the aircraft. And they walk away with a different opinion. And they say, like, you know, yeah, we're going to look at these. We're going to start looking at these. So as a broker, it's not just going out and getting prices for somebody, but it's also bringing more products to the insurance market. You know, with the ultra, you know, the trikes and powered parachutes, up until several years ago, there was only one place you could get it, and it was a U.S. agency that had a foreign company. I think they're out of Barbados or something like that. Well, there's not a lot of security with that policy.
Yeah, that sounds scary.
And but we went to one of the existing aviation insurance underwriters and said, hey, you know, these trikes and powered parachutes, they're safe, they're good. And again, educating them here at Oshkosh and at other major events where we get an opportunity to get them up in the aircraft. And then they take a look at it and look at the roll cage on it, you know, especially the powered parachutes, and say, well, you know, this they're built very sturdy. And so you show them that, that it's not some, you know, tube and fabric, somebody's using electrical conduit to build something. And they're very sophisticated. The engines, you know, the Rotax engines and the other engines they've been using, proven engines. And we got an insurance program put together for EAA members for both trikes and powered parachutes. And we just added on amphibians. So some of the trikes and powered, or the, mostly trikes have been doing it. Then they're putting floats on them, and so we've been doing those too.
It's a whole other can of worms.
There's been a lot of aircraft that have come out lately, like the Icon A5. Gyrocopters have exploded. Trikes have exploded. LSA market has just really taken off. And there's other stuff that's coming down the pike. We are starting to see rotable aircraft that are being developed.
Yeah, that's got to be something you guys are following closely.
I mean, at the rotable aircraft, that's a tough one, because the problem is the insurance companies, the aviation insurance companies, can only insure something that's, you know, operates from an airport, or and it could be any airport. And when it goes off the airport, now their insurance has to stop.
Right.
Flying is one thing, but now you're driving it down a highway. The people, that the insurance companies that do auto insurance, they don't have reinsurance to do airplanes. So you've got, you know, so the individual has to buy two policies.
Yeah, there's going to be some talking going on. Yeah. And then the delineation when one stops and the other one takes effect kind of thing. And
that's a problem as well. So we, with the Terrafuga, we've worked on those. And there's a couple of, there's a one now that's a powered parachute. That's a rotable, you know, drive it down the road and then get to the airport and pop on it. And so we've been working with those. And again, we've been having success in getting the insurance lined up. It's not cheap, but it's doable. It's doable.
What's the biggest mistake the average person makes when deciding on an insurance for an aircraft?
Buying the airplane or building the airplane before checking on insurance.
Okay. That's the easy part. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is contact us and say, hey, you know, I had one the other day, a 75-hour private pilot. And he'd bought himself a 172, and 1 year accumulated 75 hours, and he did a great job. It's fantastic. And he called up and he said he found himself a Lancer 4 that he was going to buy as his next airplane. And I said, well, why do you want to do that? And he says, well, I live over in the western part of Wisconsin, and I want to go down to Cincinnati and back all the time. I can make that trip real quick. And I said, yeah, but you're not ready for that. So fortunately, he called us ahead of time. So we made a plan. I said, okay, look, move up to maybe an SR-20, or maybe then after that, maybe a Mooney. You know, you can make that leap, but let's make it a logical step over the next 4 or 5 years. So the biggest problem is that they make a commitment. Their heart is set on it. Maybe they even put money down. They've already bought the thing, and that's like, wow.
And then you guys have to rain on the parade and say, I'm sorry, we can't insure you.
Well, I just did one for a private pilot with 200 hours that went out and bought himself a pressurized 210.
Ooh, that's a big jump.
Yeah, and but ground school, flight training, and everything else. He's going to go through a very intensive training program. He's committed to doing it, and he's going to do it. We got it lined up.
Wow, that's a tough road.
Now, here's a question. In that scenario where you have a 200-hour pilot that goes through all the training for the pressurized aircraft, as the hours accumulate and years go by, are his rates going to drop, or are they going to stay the same or go up?
No, the rates will get softer. Two things are going to happen. Right now, we were only able to get two insurance companies to quote, and they were both very pricey. A lot of insurance companies said, no, thank you. We're not comfortable in offering it. As he builds time and gets his annual recurrent training, because he's going to do a recurrent training every year. Mm-hmm. And you know, downstream, all these other companies are going to say, wow, now he's got 500 hours and he's got 300 hours make and model. And all of a sudden, it's going to say, well, we'll quote on this because he's doing recurrent training and everything else. So, you know, the more competition, the price comes down, he will get better pricing downstream.
What about the guy that goes out and buys himself a L-29 jet? I mean, that's totally possible. You could get a fixed wing pilot, a prop guy, who has the money to buy one of these things, but not the background.
Right. And in a case like that, it's going to be doable, probably be one of those things where he might spend the next 150 or 200 hours with a Czech pilot with him. You know, he might fly a whole year with an instructor. But again, if it's a logical transition, you know, and they can come up with a training program, it can be done.
Take that a step further. What about if that same guy decides that he wants a MiG-21?
Well,
uh-oh.
The FAA's going to have enough issues with that.
I was going to say, there gets to be a point where you can't push that rope up the hill
exactly,
anymore.
Exactly. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum. What about airplane renters?
Renters insurance is really, you know, it's one of the things a lot of people don't recognize the value of. Whether you're taking training or whether you're, you know, just borrowing an airplane, it really, really makes sure that, and renters insurance is very inexpensive. We have it online on the EA website. You can buy it 24/7. You can call us up. We give them advice on limits and stuff like that. But it's not real expensive. But it is super important because insurance companies are very aggressive at subrogating against the people when they're at fault. Just like, you know, renting a car, you damage the car, get your checkbook out because they're gonna come after you. Same thing as with a rented airplane or a borrowed airplane. The insurance company for the owner of the aircraft, they'll pay for the damage. They'll take care of it, but then they'll turn around and go back after the permissive user.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you're not off the hook.
Nope. Not at all.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thanks, guys. It's great being here.
You've been listening to Bob Mackey here talking about insurance solutions. For more information, where can they go?
We're over at Outdoor Exhibit Space 262, just on the north side of the B exhibit hangar, right there next to Quest Aircraft and across the street from Bose.
Cool. I'm Fast
Landmarks. Eddie. Landmarks. Gotta love them.
Yep.
This is Digital Dave.
And you're listening to EAA Radio.